Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Luzonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255. That's 866-606-8255. And check out my website online at homeschooldad.com. Today, I want to talk about the biggest and most fatal parenting fails out there. Now, when I told a friend of mine that I was going to be my show this week, he said, "Oh, I know what you're going to talk about." And, you know, he's right. You know, the biggest fails out there are, you know, the screens, passive video consumption, video games, TV, movies, all that. But since I've done entire shows about that, I am not going to really go into that today. I want to focus on the several other areas that we can genuinely fail our children. And I want to frame the issue to start out with the severity, the gravity of, you know, parenting mistakes. Mark Cuban is a ultra-famous, ultra-wealthy, inspiring entrepreneur, very public figure. Most people probably know who he is. He owns the Dallas Mavericks, and he made billions during the original dot-com boom. Anyway, he has a little book out there, a business book, which I would encourage anybody to read. It's on Kindle for about $2 or something like that. I would encourage you to have your teenagers read it as well because, again, he's an inspiring example. And one of the things that he says in that book about business and entrepreneurialism is he says, remember, you only have to be right once. In other words, you can try, you know, 50 different businesses and they can all fail miserably, but that 51st one, you know, can make you that billionaire or could, you know, change your life forever. That can be your home run. And he's absolutely right in that context. But in my world, in the parenting and educational space, I want to flip it around. I want to say that, you know, you could be right 50 out of 50 times as a parent, but you could have one oversight, you could have one misstep, one failure in the parenting realm, and that could be absolutely positively tragic. The analogy I like to use is that as parents, you and I are usually walking a tightrope. One little slip and it's game over, dude. And, you know, life's going to throw curveballs at us. But why make it harder than it's going to be? You know, there are certain things that we know we should not do as parents and as educators. And we have to basically take those out of, you know, the realm of possibility. And if we don't, if we do fail our children, we are going to have lifetime profound regrets about what we did, what we didn't do, about how we did it. And these are things that I am nervous about, paranoid about to that extent on a daily basis. But not everybody is. And that's why we can do a whole show on the basic parenting fails. And, you know, it all starts with the mindset of a parent. You know, are we going to raise our kids by accident or are we going to be intentional about, you know, the things we do for our children, to our children, how we let them interact, with whom we let them interact. Again, it all starts with the mindset. And if you believe as a parent you are powerless to shape the life of your child, then you will be. And if you are close-minded to parenting suggestions, to the idea that there are better ways to do things, to the idea or the accusation / suggestion that maybe what you're doing is failing your kids, if you're not open to that, if you're going to be self-defensive about how you raise your kids, if you're going to be that close-minded, well, your kids are going to fail for it because we're all human. Nobody out there has it all figured out. And I can attest to that myself. As much work as I've done in the world of parenting, as much success as I've had, there's some things that I've been totally wrong about and I've had to acknowledge and had to flip the switch on. So again, this mindset, this parenting or powerful parenting mindset is step one. And within that mindset, the one big fail that a lot of parents have is low expectations of their children. One of my blog readers years ago wrote to me, he was an older gentleman, he said, if there's one thing that I learned in all my years of parenting, it's that children will deliver for you exactly what you expect of them. Nothing more and nothing less. And if that's true, which I happen to agree with, then why not make our expectations high for our children? In other words, if you don't expect your kid to clean their room, they're not going to clean their room. They're not going to make their bed. If you don't expect them to say please and thank you, if you don't expect them to listen to you, if you don't expect them to do their homework or their homeschool work or whatever it is you have them doing, they're not going to do it. You know, these children are testing us. They're testing their boundaries. They're testing to see whether or not the stuff we want them to do is optional. And I said it before on the show, if we let kids decide what to do, you know, they'd have donuts for breakfast, you know, fried chicken for lunch and ice cream for dinner. They'd never go to a dentist. They play video games all day. And that's why we are the parents. But if we don't act like parents, if we don't have expectations that make us look like we're in charge, that make us look like we're the master and not the servant, you know, then, you know, our kids are going to rise to that challenge or sink to that depth. It's like these aliens from above, you know, if they look down on us from space and they see us picking up dog poop, they might wonder, you know, who's in charge of that relationship. And if they, you know, see the way some kids treat their parents, they might be asking the same question. And, you know, there are a lot of deeper reasons why that is the case, some of which I've mentioned on this show before. The failure, or let's just say the lack of enthusiasm to discipline children, to lay down the law, it really comes from parents who are either misguided as to, you know, what children need. But I think more often than not today, it comes from parents who don't see their kids that much. And they yearn to be friends with their children. They yearn for their children's approval rather than, you know, be the, you know, be the martinet, meet a disciplinarian. And I'll never forget the time that I saw this kid get yelled at this public swimming hole. I guess I can say swimming hole up in Massachusetts. I know Huck Finn was not there, but this kid got yelled at by his mother, or at least reprimanded. He was not yelled at. She asked him to go over to the side and count to 10. And I mean, I can't imagine, this was several years ago, I can't imagine that kid turned out to be some super sweet, non-spoiled child when his parents' idea of punishment was go over to the side and count to 10. And, you know, one of the things that I notice right away when I'm around other children and families and watching them interact is how many times a parent has to tell a child, you know, go brush your teeth, or it's time to go, or we need to get in the car. And how many times do you as a parent have to ask your child to do something? And I think this is why a lot of us go absolutely nuts and scream our heads off, because by the ninth time, we've about had it. How nice would it be if, you know, our word was heeded? But again, if we expect our kids to listen to us, they will listen to us. If we don't, if listening, if compliance, if that is optional, then that's what they're going to deliver for us. Now, within this realm of expectations, you know, I've heard it a few times already this year from, you know, authors and educators talking about college students being what they call teacups. And what they mean by that metaphor is that these kids are graduating school, going out into college with unbelievable fragility. In other words, they've flunked their first exam, or they have some type of, you know, social letdown out in the real world, and they crumble or they shatter like a teacup. And, you know, you're talking about 19 and 20-year-old kids in 2016. Meanwhile, you know, not long ago, 100 years ago, 15, 16-year-old kids were going to war. They were starting families, and they were up at the crack of dawn working either on the farm or apprenticing. But now we have 20-year-old kids who get a bad letter grade on an exam and they fall apart. And we have their mothers following them to college to do their laundry each weekend, which is unbelievable. I did see it happen a couple times when I was in school back in Philadelphia 20 years ago, but I guess it's risen to epidemic proportions. All right, we're talking big parenting fails on the Homeschool Dad Show today. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Lozonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls at 866-606-8255, and connect with me online through my website at homeschooldad.com. Today's show is about the biggest parenting fails out there. And in the last segment, I started with the fail or the mistake of having tragically low expectations for our children. And within that, there is also low expectations of ourselves as parents. In other words, a lot of parents don't think they have the power within them to, you know, raise well-behaved kids or raise accelerated kids. And it's that is a tragedy in itself. And the genesis of it is, like everything else, it goes back to our own education. And a lot of parents don't believe that they can do almost anything, whether it's lose weight or start a business or take their social circles up a notch or two, because they lack self-confidence. And the reason they lack self-confidence is because they're 30 or 40 years old and they've never really done anything actively themselves. They've never really been self-propelled. They went to school. They were told what to do each day, told what to do each day, where to go, how to do it, told with whom to socialize or associate with. And then they went straight from school and college into the corporate world, where they had a boss who told them what to do every day. So then when it comes to being a parent, they might feel a little bit disempowered. But I would encourage all you parents out there to, you know, have higher expectations of yourselves. You know, it was Sam Walton, the genius, hardworking genius behind Walmart, who worth billions upon billions of dollars. He would be the richest person on the face of the earth if he hadn't died and split up his fortune. He says that high expectations are the key to absolutely everything. So I'll say it again. High expectations are the key to absolutely everything, and it applies not just to your kids, but to yourselves as parents. And this is going to seg into the next segment, the next large parenting failure that I want to talk about is, well, the dark side of teaching by example. It was Albert Einstein who said that example isn't another way to teach. He said it's the only way to teach. In other words, what you say to your children really is meaningless compared to what you show and demonstrate to them on a daily basis. And you might want your children to do well in school. You might want them to be adventurous. You might want them to be able to stand up to the crowd. But what if dad comes home from work every day and just turns the TV on? What if mom is still hanging out with her high school friends and the women in the neighborhood and hasn't made a new friend in ages? What if even though you want your child to be that nonconformist, that leader, what if you basically just do everything that your peers and your neighbors do? Well, then you're not really teaching your child by example. You're not teaching them to be a leader, to step out from the crowd and to separate themselves. And they're going to notice this. And what if, you know, if you're not eating healthy? You know, how many times have you been to a restaurant and you see an obese mom feeding her obese kid chicken nuggets and French fries, and they have a soda? And, you know, the kid's 4 or 5 years old and they have a soda and a milkshake. And you just, I mean, this is, I mean, it's on the spectrum of parenting abuse and child abuse. It's definitely on the spectrum of it. I'm not going to say it's there with beating them. But this is a failure to, you know, really parent, if you want to break it down. It's a failure to set an example. And if mom and dad, if they don't exercise, they're teaching their kids that, you know, physical health is not that important. And the kids are going to see it. You know, if dad comes home and if he watches the TV, he's teaching the kids that that's what you do. When you're done your work, you're done your corporate job or your homework, you sit and watch TV. No, you don't spend your time and energy developing new hobbies. You spend your time chilling out, because that's it. And TV is a totally acceptable way to, you know, to spend your free time. I had to sneak in a little bit of TV there. And, you know, the example, it can be complicated because, again, we are human and we have our own baggage, our own schooling, our own physical maladies, and our own, you know, financial issues to struggle with. So I understand that, and I'm not insensitive to it. And I have, you know, without getting too personal here, I have, you know, my own problems. I mean, I just had leg surgery yesterday. I've been battling a health issue with my legs for almost a year now. And it saps my energy. It makes me cranky. It makes me less than a fully, you know, engaged, present, and perfect parent. So we all have these issues. And sometimes the issues can come to a head when, say, you know, mom wants the TV off, but dad comes home and he puts the TV on. And I have this, you know, this is not a hypothetical case. I deal with this with clients of mine all the time, where one parent wants to move the needle in a certain direction, another parent might not be on board. One parent might want to switch to eating healthy food, and the other one comes home with, you know, pizza and French fries and cheesecake. One of them wants a little bit less alcoholic of a family, while the other one, you know, wants to come home and that beer is cracked open no matter what. And there's a failure to communicate between mom and dad and a failure to get on the same page. And as a result, there are mixed signals. There's mixed examples being set for the kids. Actually, there is one example being set, and that is of, let's just say, non-communicative parents or parents who are existing in totally different universes. And you know what? My advice to these parents, or to these moms or dads, whoever it is that's trying to push their family in a, let's say, a more healthy direction, is to keep at it, not to quit. Not communicating with your husband or wife, not expressing, let's just say, disagreement. It might seem like that's, you know, the way to go. It might seem like that's the path of least resistance. But the path of least resistance is not the way to unlock your kid's full potential. I mean, think about resistance from an athletic standpoint. I mean, no pain, no gain. You have to do the hard things. And I've had myself, and still do, had many things where my wife and I have completely disagreed about something. And we've both dug in our heels. And the person who knows they're right has to stick with it. They can't quit, not on their kids. So teaching by example is going to be a team approach. And it's a big one. All right, you're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Luzonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255, and check out my website online at homeschooldad.com. On my website, you can see what a 10-year-old kid can do, because that's right, my son, 10 years old, totally designed and maintains my website. Moving on, that's a parenting win. Parenting fails, that's the subject of today's show. And just to recap, I think the first thing a parent has to do is have high expectations of their kids. The second thing they have to do is set a good example for them in their own life. And we talked about, I mean, the obvious ones, the junk food, the exercise, the TV, and all these dads that come home and play video games with their kids. But there's also how mom and dad communicate with each other. We don't want to teach our children that a marriage can be, an abusive relationship or a loveless, relationship. We don't want our kids to do that, because the last thing in the world we want to see is our kids, seek out relationships and marriages like that down the road, because we basically condition them to think that that was normal. Husband and wives don't talk. Husband and wives, yell at each other, or worse. We have a caller on the line. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show, and how can I help you today?
Okay. Thank you for having me. Me and my sister, we pretty much raised her son. He's 10 years old. He was a good kid, but he had a car accident. A car had my sister was crossing across the street, and the car veered off. The driver was texting, and he hit my nephew, and he was in the hospital for about a month. And I noticed since the accident, like after the accident, he's had like an anger spell, and it just seems to not go away. We've tried various different things, and the thing that I was explaining to my sister is not to, we're working with him, but don't reward him for bad behavior. It's kind of, I think that more or less the bad behavior or the anger came from the accident. So he's in counseling. But the thing I wanted to ask you is that what would be a good reward system to set up for him for when he does something or he accomplished something, and not just reward him or give him something? Because I'm trying to get her out of the habit of just giving him the give him, because he's getting a little spoiled.
Yeah, I mean, and he's probably working the sympathy angle. I'm sorry to hear about his car accident, but he's probably working the sympathy angle about the car accident. And, he's testing to see what he has to do and what he doesn't have to do. And, it's your sister that's spoiling him?
Yeah, she pretty much spoils him. I'm trying to keep it balanced, but, me and her have our little situations, because we're co-parenting her child. But like I explained to her, I was like, what you're just saying is 100% correct, that he's testing, because with me, he does none of the things that he does at home. In school, he does, I think I can contribute something being, from the accident, but the behaviors, I think they're coming because he's used to getting his way. And when he doesn't get his way, he feels like he can have a tantrum. And that's going to give him, whatever he wants.
Yeah, I this is one of the things I've been very keen on noticing. For whatever reason, our mothers and the women, female humans, they are obsessed with doting on children. And it's got its pluses and it's got its minuses. And I think this is why kids need both male and female figures in their lives. Maybe the dads are a little too detached, but I think some of the moms are a little too attached. And everywhere I go, even within my own family, I watch women chase kids around with spoons and make sure every boy gets exactly what they want to eat for every meal. And I really think that the moms in 2016 are very, very guilty of spoiling their kids with attention and with, basically catering to their every whim. They don't want them to be hungry. God forbid the kid's hungry for a half an hour before you get home and dinner is gonna be ready. We have to give him a snack in the back seat. Or God forbid the kid's unhappy with something. We have to go buy him new clothes. We have to get him this video game. We have to take him, to his friend's house. And I mean, it's, I'm a pretty strict dad. And, my wife is, I'm the bad cop and she's the good cop. But I've seen this and I feel your pain. But I would encourage you to, hold your ground, even ramp it up. Because this is like an emotional thing for these women, and they seem almost not to, and I'm going to probably talk about this after we hang up, they seem to not be able to think about the long-term effects of what they're doing. They're just trying to put out short-term fires.
I'll give you an example. She brought him a pair of sneakers. I brought him a pair of sneakers. This pair of sneakers she brought, he didn't like. I don't like them. I'm not going to wear them. So I'm like, hey, well, I told her, hey, take them back. I brought him a pair of sneakers. They wasn't what he wanted. They were a pair of Air Jordans. And he was like, oh. So he took the box and I handed him the box through the window of the car, and he took the box, opened them up, and was like, and kind of like dropped them on the ground. So I politely got out the car. I told him to pick up the box. He picked up the box, and I returned the sneakers to the store. I said, now you wear nothing.
That's all. I mean, that's what you got to do. I mean, he's lucky. He's lucky he got him. My dad. Did your dad buy you Air Jordans?
No.
I mean, it was like you had the. Well, I was up in Massachusetts, and they called the generic sneakers. We called them Skippies up there.
Ponies. Pony, there were
Ponies?
ponies too.
Yeah, oh, Pony. Yeah, that's the brand. But Skippies is like the generic ones that they sold the supermarket. And yeah, you got sneakers, and maybe they were Converse. Air Jordans? Never, I mean, can you imagine if this kid, if you travel back in time to the 80s and you said, hey, I bought it's my nephew, your nephew. I bought him Air Jordans and he dropped them, and people would think that that kid was insane. Hey, Steve, I got to go now, but I want to encourage you to hold your ground and just continue to articulate yourself to your sister. She's not going to change. Maybe you have to ramp up your exposure. And I know that he's going to be drawn to you as he gets older. I've seen this in my own family. The kids, they take advantage of the mothers when they're young, but when they're teenagers, they crave the discipline and they crave the respect and, let's say, the mutual respect from adults, male adults. And I think that's coming. You just have to get through this without giving any ground, though. Thanks again, Steve, for your call.
No problem. Thank you. You're welcome. Bye.
All right. And this is funny, this thing. This is my latest, I don't know, a little bit of an experiment or hypothesis, that, a lot of the moms, they can't let their kids not only miss a meal, or never mind just eat the meal that everyone else has. They get custom, made-to-order meals. They've turned themselves into short-order cooks. But the kids can't go, even, 20 minutes without a snack. I just don't get it. We have to, we have to condition our kids to not get what they want, so they don't go to college, and they're able to handle a little bit of disappointment. And this one leads me into the next segment, which I'll cover when we come back. That one of the biggest mistakes we make as parents is we don't create a high enough social circle for our children. I had this one friend in Philadelphia who grew up in South Philadelphia, and his mother never let him or his brothers, and they were numerous, hang on the corner, which is what people will do in urban environments. They hang on the corner, and she would never let her kids do that. And the other neighbors thought she was a snob, and it's an Irish neighborhood, and they derogatorily referred to them as, oh, the Kennedys, too good to hang on the corner. But you know what? The kids that hung on the corner are probably still hanging on the corner. And we have to go against the grain. We have to swim upstream, and whether that's away from, an unsupportive spouse, or whomever, we have to do this for our kids. We have to set an example personally, and we have to, outside ourselves, we have to try to create a condition or conditions where they can grow higher than everyone else. Listen to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Lozonis, and I am talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. Taking your calls today at 866-606-8255, and check out my website online at homeschooldad.com. Today's show is all about the biggest parenting fails out there, the more holistic ones, not Minecraft, not video games, the fails of having low expectations for your kids, of setting a bad example. And I want to move into another one, not elevating the social circle or the social environment in which you're raising your children. Because you want to be that mom who tells your kids, no, you can't hang out with the kids on the corner. And as a mom and a dad, you also want to hang out with parents who share your values. You do not want to be the mom who says, you know what, all these other moms around here, they let their kids watch 3 hours of TV. My kids only watch 1 hour. You don't want to pat yourself on the back like that. You don't want to figure out some way to give yourself false praise. You want to find the parents who are better than you, who have kids that are better behaved than your kids and do better in school, and you want to insinuate yourself into their world, because they have this adage in entrepreneurial circles, and it couldn't be more true, and that's that you are, or everybody is, the average of the five people they hang around the most with. In other words, if you can put yourself into a group of high achievers or people of high character, they will, by virtue of osmosis, raise you up. And by the same token, if you hang out with people who are profoundly mediocre, let's be kind, underperformers, or even just below average, they're going to bring you down. And so one of the best things you can do as a parent for your kids is elevate your social circle. That's who you and your husband associate with and who your kids associate with. Now, the thing is, it's very easy to delude ourselves. Our own voice in our head is the most influential voice we will ever listen to. And we don't want to be, like I said, deluding ourselves about how healthy we are or how well we're serving our kids. There's this website online that drives me nuts. It's called Scary Mommy or something like that, and it has a confessional where parents go in and they write confessions like, I've fed my kids Lucky Charms for breakfast, lunch, and dinner today, and I'm sitting in the bathroom with a bottle of wine. And things like this, which are, kind of funny, so long as it's not your kids, not your nieces and nephews, not your wife who's confessing. But one of the things that I don't like about the website is that it's engineered sort of like Facebook, where people divulge these confessions of their own bad behavior. And people who read it can check one of three buttons beneath it. They can check like, hug, or me too. One thing they can't say when someone says that is they can't say you're a horrible mother. You know, why don't you feed your kids, some vegetables? You're messing with their long-term health. You're going to regret. You can't say anything like this. It's just like Facebook. You can't not like something. You can only like it. It's not even a binary system. It's unitary. And so what I don't like about it is people will go to these sites. These bad parents will go there, and they will find out there are tons of other bad parents, and they won't think there's anything wrong with their behavior, or they'll take it lightly. And this is the absolute opposite of elevating your social circle. This is a drug addict trying to find the crack house where they can go and be amongst their peers, rather than trying to find a place where they can go clean up. And the social angle is huge with your family. And the example I like to give is, it's hypothetical. It's just imagine you're in this neighborhood and a new family moves in. And you start befriending, well, mom starts befriending the wife and the new wife, and the dad starts socializing with the husband, and the kids get together. And this new family is just something else. The kids say please and thank you. They do chores. They eat healthy food. They exercise. They do their academic work. The dad has got a great business, and he works hard, and they exercise, and they have high character, and they go to church, and all these good things. They move in next to you, and they're as nice as can be. And they have a profound effect on your family. Maybe mom starts exercising more. Maybe mom feels guilty, having Coca-Cola in the house and gets rid of it. Maybe the kid's good behavior rubs off on your kid's good behavior. Maybe the dad can help out, the dad in your family with his business or with his health or with meeting new people or whatever. In other words, this family that just moved in is going to come in, and it's going to elevate everything about the way you are parenting and raising your own kids strictly by osmosis. And I like to use this hyper-exaggerated example because if we look at our own lives, you'll see that this happens. And it happens in the positive direction and in the negative direction as well. And what I like to point out about this family that moved in and elevated your own family is that, you start to wonder, what if I knew 10 other families like them? What if I had met them sooner? How different would the trajectory of our family's life be? And that's how powerful this idea of elevating your social circle and your friends really is. All right, so I'm going to recap it here. Keep those expectations high, set a great example for your kids, and do what you can to create a robust environment of positive reinforcement for your children. These are the holistic things I want you to take away from today's show. Of course, knock off the screens and the junk food, but think more holistically. Set a good example, and just don't stop trying to be a better parent. That's the key. You'll get there. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next week.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.